a beautiful sight. We're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland.
Well, we hope whatever you are out and about doing this, help me out, Gary, Christmas Eve squared.
My nephew called it Christmas Eve squared.
The day before Christmas.
He was so anxious for Christmas.
I got it. I like it. Well, you're doing last minute shopping, or you're just out and about with friends or guests, or you're just lounging around your house thinking, gosh, I need to find something to do with that bare spot of dirt over there and this Urban Farm broadcast, and you're kind of getting a little motivated to do something. If you're going to plant something, man, make sure it's something you at least like to eat.
Oh, absolutely. You know, 15 years ago, I'd get that question all the time. Well, you know, what do I plant? Well, you plant what you love. Not so much these days. People have really smartened up the past couple, 3 years. I don't get that question a whole lot anymore, so that's good. But plant what you love.
But what you're going to eat, you know, every plant grows differently. So you've got your microclimates, and you've got this observation of permaculture, and you've got this database you're building in your mind mentally as you're observing. Well, now let's pick what we're going to eat. So we pick what you like, and now you know we've got to match those growing characteristics to what's best in your microclimates and your property. So what and where to grow?
So it's really a lot simpler than you made it sound there. First of all,
good.
First of all, grow what you love. We talked about that. Secondly, start off simple. We talked about that earlier. I had a client recently call me, a longtime friend of mine, actually, and she said, my husband and I are thinking about putting in a 1,000-square-foot greenhouse. Like, really? That's cool. Have you ever grown anything before? Well, no. That's where we're going to start. It's like, no. Don't start there. So I had a 5-minute conversation with her, realized that she had a really nice back patio that faces east. Best place to put a garden is on the east side of a structure because that way it's in the shade in the afternoon. And she had some garden pots out back that didn't have anything in them. So in a 5-minute conversation with her, I had a, you know, we got her to the point of, okay, I can get some soil. You know, some really good potting soil, put them in those pots, put them on the east side. That's where I'll start. So start easy. And then there are so many things you can do. I mean, it's as simple as starting sprouts on your countertop. You know, there's books on sprouts out there, or a little pot in your, you know, in a sunny windowsill and grow basil. Here's what I tell people about herbs. They're the simplest thing to grow and the most expensive thing to buy. So plant herbs, plant them in your yard. I have, in my yard, I have mint, basil, oregano, rosemary, cilantro. I know there's 3 or 4, parsley. These all grow wild in my yard. I don't ever have to really go to the grocery store and buy them because they're just there automatically for me.
And what's nice about those is if you don't use them regularly, it doesn't matter. They don't take up a lot of space.
Right.
They don't take up a lot of water. They had a nice color, nice variety of green plant material.
So start with herbs. I mean, that's a really simple place to start.
And your neighbors will love you.
And the neighbors will love you. You know, you can go with pots on a patio. I mentioned that. Garden beds. You can go with raised bed gardens if you want. That's a super simple way to go. It's not always the best way to go because on a raised bed garden, you've got heat on 5 sides rather than 1. Although there's I wouldn't not do it because of the heat. You just need to know that July, August, and September is going to be your hardest time to grow because that's the hottest time. And honestly, growing food in the desert, that's the hardest time to grow. So I've gotten to the place at the Urban Farm where I grow from September, toward the end of September to about the end of June, and then I pretty much shut my gardens down and let them do whatever they're going to do. So
little rest time for the garden.
Yeah. And then if you want to get outside of the box, there's Tower Gardens, which are a hydroponic growing system by Juice Plus, which I've got information on if people want to, you know, reach out to me on that.
Those are pretty cool. It's a big, big tub at the bottom.
20-gallon tub at the bottom, and it's got a pump. And it's like, think of a Christmas tree. It looks like a Christmas tree when it's all grown out. And the water's pumped from the tub at the bottom up to the top, about 6 feet tall, and it trickles down through this tube in the middle, and it puts nutrients on the roots of the plants and, you know, water on the roots of the plants, and they just, you know, they just grow like mad.
I don't know who invented it, but I wish it had been me.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Guy's name is Tim Blank. I've met him before. He's amazing. He's absolutely amazing. And then there's, you know, there's aquaponics, which is a fish-powered garden. If you're interested in, you know, in starting a fish-powered garden, we actually have some free webinars on it on our website. And there's hydroponics, which is growing, you know, with nutrients and water. There's so many different things that you can do gardening-wise. You just have to go with what inspires you.
Now, do you have an aquaponic application at the Urban Farm?
I don't. I've done them in the past. In fact, I was playing with aquaponics in the late 70s, early 80s. You don't know this about me, but my first business here in Phoenix when I was 15 was 1975. I used to clean, service, and build fish ponds. And some people would have me convert. And so at 18, 19 years old, I was converting swimming pools into aquaculture ponds and helping people raise catfish in their backyard. This was in the late 70s, early 80s.
So by chance, you know, if any of those are still in existence out there, that'd be hard to track.
Yeah, actually, I wrote a book a few years ago, one of my little mini books, and I put out a notice to everybody that listens to me. I said, you know, I'm interested in your gardening stories. Where are your unique gardening stories that, you know, out there? And this guy named Robert in Arcadia reaches out to me and he starts telling me this story about how in the late 1970s, he converted his swimming pool into a fish pond. And then for the next 15 years, they had a fish fry once a year. And as he was telling me this story in an email, I was realizing that I did his swimming pool for him. That was my project. So
he was trying to take claim for your work.
Well, no, that's okay. I don't have a problem with that. But it's, you know, it's, yeah, it's history. I love it. I absolutely love it. Because really, that's what I'm up to in life is how can I plant seeds for long term stuff like that to happen. I think his name was Robert Gilsdorf, and if my memory serves me, and I think he told me a couple of years ago that he had reactivated it. So
very cool.
Yeah. So there are so many ways that you can grow food. You just have to kind of do a little bit of research and discover what's going to work for you. You know, because I have a third of an acre. I also have a tower garden, and my tower garden is one of my most favorite toys. It is so great how it works. So there you go.
Well, I know we could get high-centered on these all day, but yeah, we wanted to cover soil this segment gets away from us.
If you've been listening to me for a while, or maybe even not even a while, you know that what I say is the most important thing that we can do as growers, especially in the desert, is to grow healthy soil. Healthy soil is going to give you healthy plants, is going to give you healthier food. The food's going to taste better. It's going to be better for you. So your job is to grow healthy soil. And there are five components of healthy soil. They're really simple. You have one of them already. If you live in the low desert, you have one. It's called dirt. Dirt is broken down rock. It's got micronutrients in it that are bound up in the dirt that the plants can't get a hold of. In fact, my friend Emily Rocky from Tanks Green Stuff down in Tucson told me recently that there is less than 1% organic matter in desert soils. So that means the rest of it is, you know, it's 99%+ dirt. And dirt gets highly compacted, the water can't get into it, and there's not a whole lot of life in it. So I just reviewed three of the other components of healthy soil. So let's just run through that real quick. Dirt, airspace, water, organic matter, and everything that's alive in the soil. So that's what makes healthy soil.
Because organic and live aren't the same thing.
Right. The organic matter is your compost and your potting mix and all those great things that are already broken down that you're adding to your soil. And the life is the microorganisms, the mycorrhizae, the bacteria, the worms, the ants that are in your soil. By the way, guys and gals, ants are not bad. In fact, they're aerating our soils for us, as are gophers aerating our soils for us. So I know those are kind of a cringe when I say that, but they're doing a food systems work for us out there. If the ants are digging, they're, you know, making pathways for water to get in. So what you need to know about this besides the five components. You don't even need to memorize them. The big thing you need to know is the fix. How do you fix unhealthy soil? And you fix unhealthy soil by adding organic matter. Add compost. Add potting mix. What you want to add to your garden is already broken down. So wood chips is not organic matter that you want to add to your garden. You can put them on top. Some people put them on top, but I don't like doing that. So compost and potting mix goes in your garden and in your tree planting holes. Wood chips, like we were talking about your trees a little while ago, those go up on top. And I'll talk after the break. I'll talk about what that actually does. But adding organic matter is the fix. And once you add the compost, the life shows up in spades. It's amazing to me how that life shows up.
Almost kind of creepy. Like, I remember planting my first tomato. I've never seen a tomato worm in 8 years living in Whitman. All of a sudden, one tomato and there's tomato worms. I mean, how they just, if you build it, they will come.
There you go.